Have you ever been sitting in your home at night with the lights all on, perhaps just kind of settled back in, watching television, or maybe you're doing a puzzle together, reading a book, eating dinner, when all of a sudden the lights are out. And there you are, seated in the dark, and you wait a minute. Wait, hoping that the lights will just do that flicker thing that they do and come back on. Wait, hoping that you can get back to watching Dancing with the Stars or Stranger Things or Wheel of Fortune, whatever happens to be on at the moment. Wait, hoping that you can see what you're actually eating as you're eating dinner, until you realize the power's out for a little while. Who knows how long it's going to be, and you look for something, maybe a lantern, something to light your way, even around the house, a place you know really, really well when it's all lit up. Once you find your lantern or flashlight or whatever it is you have tucked in a really good spot, I'm sure none of you have to rummage to find it, that just happens in our house, you feel confident to remember what you already knew. Eating in the dark is manageable when you have something lit in front of you. Remember that for a minute. Paul writes his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, I'm so thankful to hear about your faith that's growing, your love that's increasing, and God is just moving everywhere, all around you. Church planner Paul writes that he's heard about some hard times going on in the church and the church's people. The initial fervor has waned, and morale is just a little low among the people. They thought Jesus would come back right away, and Jesus doesn't seem to have come back quite yet. Joiners of the movement seem to have different ideas of what the best way to be in relationship with each other is. From the moment there are people in the church, there's just a little itty bit of conflict, not like anywhere else in the world. And Paul didn't suppress or avoid those distinctions. He called people first to gratitude and to faithfulness. From the earliest times in the church, even before I was born, which was a surprise to the kids, the church has set aside in the liturgical calendar a time to remember those who have gone before us in the faith, this All Saints Day. So we, like Paul, lift up those with gratitude and look at the light that their lives have shed. And we understand that saints are those who reflect back God's light. Not because they're absolutely perfect, but because God is perfect. The word saint is never said in a single manner. It's always plural. In the Greek language, it's not a single noun, but a plural noun, because we understand reflecting God takes more than just one of us. Like in the hymn for all the saints, we think of the saints collectively, for all of those who have let God's love and light shine through them. In our remembrance this year, we have 24 people who have shared the love and light of God with others. When we remember them, we have 7 who have been called mother, four who have been called father, one brother, three sister, one cousin, two called aunt, one friend, one fiance, two children, one grandfather, and one husband. Understandably, some have multiple relationships as well. As we remember this morning, some of us come with some contentment, remembering with satisfaction those who have lived lives that have been wonderful, and reflecting upon them gives us grace. Others of us bring some sadness in missing the presence of our delighted loved ones. And sometimes we feel both at the exact same time. And there's even those we're remembering this year who don't find their names specifically listed in our bulletin or up on our PowerPoint. And we're gentle with ourselves and with one another, because each one that we remember is so precious, providing a witness as their lights shine. Because shining a light is a regular witness, like the steady stream of encouragement that Fran Bryant gave to her children and her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her family, the church family, to find hope in God even when times were hard. Shining your light is gentle, like the smile that Ruth Hicks gave both to acquaintances and to friends. I bet you all are thinking the same thing as you're looking at the smile that I am, that they're welcome here in this place. Shining your light is faithful, like the joyful attendance that Vinny offered as he served at the sound booth, bringing not only skill but humor to an incredible place back at the sound booth. Shining your light is making others feel welcome and included, like Lana Gill did through our SOS ladies and her own home, even in a simple conversation. Shining your light is a quiet and faithful witness, like Cindy McCall, ready to offer a hand and be an eager part of the ministry of the church. We could go on and on and on. Lanterns are needed most, though, when we find ourselves in the dark. The light of God shines most brightly when times are difficult. Reverend Jane Harner was the first woman ordained in the Eastern Pennsylvania Annual Conference back in 1957. We were Methodists then, not yet united. And Jane was married to Bill, an elder. She tells the tale that the bishop at the time opposed the ordination of women, but felt compelled by the approval of the conference to proceed. Appointment, however, was in his purview, so he appointed Bill and Jane to opposite ends of the conference, forcing her to take immediate leave to take care of the family. She became a local elder in 1961, but because of this unique circumstance, only became a full elder in 1980. She wasn't approved to a church, to serve a church, until 1977. From the beginning of a journey to the end was 23 years. We need a lantern most when it's dark. She actually served one of the congregations that I served in St. Paul, Hellertown. It's been the light of the lives of others that show us the way, give us hope and faith on the days when we're looking for what the next steps might be. You know, you and I, we do that for one another. when we tell the stories of where it is that we see God moving, we shone the light for one another. Darkness is inevitable. It comes at least once a day. There are times in our lives when we lose power, we feel adrift, when we're looking for something that's bigger than ourselves. Friends, our lives are already lights. The question is, what are they illuminating? Are they illuminating ways of fear and dismay, or do we testify to the love that we've known through Jesus? Our stewardship includes regular witness. Where are you letting God's love shine through you and share that your life has been touched? Where is it that you can tell others how God is moving? Did you see God move in the new people you met at Trunk or Treat when the rain stopped and people who never have been in this place came for the first time? Shine your light and share it with a neighbor. Did you see God's fingerprints in creation when the sun rose and you could tell that God was moving in the midst of us? Shine your light and tell a friend. Did you see God move when you prayed for a miracle and God showed up changing your heart to how God might move differently than you initially prayed for? And you were content with the progress of how God was moving. Tell everyone you meet. You and I, we have lights that shine the way to God. And God is calling us for just enough to let others take steps on the path as well. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.